Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords.
This is the Rental Income Podcast.
And now, Dan Lane.
One of the best ways to make a lot of money with rental properties is to use what's called the BRRRR strategy. This is where you buy a beat-up, run-down property, and you fix it up. And in doing so, in fixing the property up, you've just increased the value of the property, and you're able to get a much higher rent amount. A lot of times when we've talked about BRRRRs on the podcast in the past, we've talked about it in the context of single-family homes. But my guest on the show today just did a BRRRR on a small apartment building, and he's making a lot of money on this building. I'll let him tell you directly. John, how much were you able to raise rents on this building after you fixed it up?
Yeah, it's a great question. So the rent roll for the previous owner was probably somewhere around $7,000 a month. It's hard to say because it was so scattered. Today, we bring in about $18,000 a month.
Incredible. Okay. And now you had an appraisal done when you bought the property, and then you had another one done after you fixed it up. How much equity did you create in this whole process?
Yeah. So we purchased the property for $1.1 million and it appraised. We put about $350,000 into the construction, and it just appraised for $2 million
Incredible.
Just a few months ago.
On the podcast today, we're going to find out exactly how John did this. We're going to talk about some challenges he ran into along the way and how he was able to get all of his money out of the deal. So today, John has no money at all on this property. Joining us on the show today from Chicago is John Warren. We'll take a really quick break. We'll thank our sponsors. We'll come right back and we'll talk to John. When I'm doing research to buy a new rental property, there's a lot of different websites, apps, and then a spreadsheet that I use to do my analysis. It's really kind of a convoluted process. Well, there's a much easier way. There's an app called Ask Rick. That's R-I-C for Rental Income Calculator. Ask Rick makes it really easy to find and analyze rental properties. You can see all the properties for sale in an area. If something looks good, you can press one button. It'll analyze the property for you. It'll figure out the rent amount. It'll figure out your mortgage payment, all your expenses, and give you your cash flow. If you're ready to move forward, you can make an offer right there on the app, or you can send the information over to your realtor to do some more investigation into the property. You can try it out for free right now. Just search for Ask Rick. That's R-I-C, Ask Rick in the App Store. Or go to justaskrick.com. That's justaskrick.com. The team at Just Ask Rick is constantly working on making the app better. They just released an update to make the map load faster, and you can now schedule a tour by sending a calendar invite right in the app. If you've tried it out before, you might want to give it another shot. If you haven't tried it yet, start your free trial today at justaskrick.com. The first step in buying a rental property is to get pre-qualified, and I would suggest you work with a lender that specializes in working with investors, because the last thing you want to have happen is to get to closing and find out the money's not there and you can't close. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender, and she'll pre-qualify you for free if you mention Rental Income Podcast. Find out more today. Contact Chaley at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, lendinggroup.com. NMLS 42056. Now, John, you used the BRRRR method when you bought this property. Before we get into the details of what you did, can you just give us a real high-level explanation of what the BRRRR method is and how it works?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. The idea is that you buy a property and you increase the value and, of course, the cash flow too to support it. And then you do a refinance where you get all or most of your money back out of the property.
Okay. So you shouldn't, but when everything's all said and done, you shouldn't have any of your own money in the property. You should have an asset that's just pumping out cash every month that you basically got for free.
That's the goal, right?
Right.
And a lot of times it can work. Not always, but in this case it did.
So you got all your money back. So you had to put some money into a down payment or fixing it up, or you had some money in the deal at some point, but you have everything back now.
Exactly.
Incredible.
So the goal is to recover your cash so you can go play the game again.
Awesome.
Buy more buildings.
All right. Well, let's get into exactly what you did here. So let's talk about this property. So this is a 19-unit apartment building, and I take it it was in pretty rough shape when you bought it. Tell me about the property. What was it like when you first found it?
So this is if you're from Chicago, this is kind of a classic building that you've seen in some of the older neighborhoods. It's from 1931. So blonde brick, three-story walk-up building. And so we bought it, and it was in pretty rough shape. You know, we knew it was a fixer-upper. When I first looked at it, I loved it. I immediately put in a full-price offer. I knew it was a great deal. And so from there, we finally get a chance to look at all the units during the inspection period. And at that point, there were 5 vacant units out of 19, which was fine. Mm-hmm. And we actually wanted there to be some vacant units so we could do the rehab. So when we finally took over the property, there were 8 vacant units out of 19. So at that point, my partner and I made a strategic decision to just do a complete renovation immediately, which was on his advice, and it was great, you know, great advice, and it was definitely the best strategy.
So you got the rest of the tenants out of the property before you started doing anything?
So I tried to do this as fast as possible because that's a huge component of the Burr method. The faster you can move, the better. Essentially, yeah. It'll work for your spreadsheet. So,
and that's just because you're paying less interest, right? That's
exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. So we immediately started gutting the vacant units. We had a crew that I put together. It was 4 or 5 guys, and we just paid them weekly. They came in and started gutting units right off the bat. And then from there, we gave all the existing tenants 60-day notices. We only have to do 30, but we thought it was a little bit more fair and humane to give people a little bit more time. Yeah. And I did my very best to make it work for people. So in some cases, people left early, and that was fine. In a few cases, people needed another month. They were trying to find a spot. And, you know, they were paying such low rents that it was – we had to recognize that it's hard for people, right, to go from paying $600 to having to pay $850 or $900.
Right.
So from there, we got everybody out. We only had to evict one tenant when it was all said and done. So most of the tenants we were able to work with and help them kind of make the move.
Now, why did you kick them out? Why not keep them in there so that at least you have some money coming in to help you pay the your mortgage or some of the expenses?
Yeah, it was mostly driven by the construction. So once we decided to do this kind of full rehab instead of doing it in pieces, we realized that we really needed to do the plumbing and the electrical. And part of this was driven by the city. The city required us to do a full electrical rehab. So we had to, and this is an old plaster building, so we had to cut channels into all the walls, you know, to install conduit. It was a really big project. And also with the existing tenants, you know, they just weren't exactly the ones that we wanted. So this is a kind of a B class or B minus class area, really good, solid area to own rental properties in. I think a lot of the tenants really didn't fit in with what we wanted for our business.
Okay. So would you say, like, if the property is like a B property, like the condition that you bought it in, was it more of like a C or a D property?
I mean, it was really run down, right?
Okay.
So the bones were really good to the building, but we replaced, you know, 170 windows. Every single window got replaced.
Okay.
I mean, things like that. It was really run down.
So
all
it was
the kitchens
a,
and baths were remodeled.
It was a good property, just run down with not the best tenants in there.
Exactly.
Okay.
It just had been mismanaged by the previous owners. This was their largest building. They have a handful of buildings. And I think, you know, they tried to do everything over 20 years themselves, mm-hmm. every bit of painting and cleaning and things. And I think in this size building, you just can't do that.
Right.
You know, you'll kill yourself if you try to literally do everything to the building yourself.
Now, so from your point of view, I mean, this seems like the building needs a ton of work. Like, you're rehabbing the entire building. How do you even know where to start on something like that?
You know, I was fortunate that this wasn't my first building. I think this would be a tough project to take over if this was, you know, the very first one. So I had done some rehab before. Some of this was driven, again, by the city. You know, we had to do the electrical and the plumbing. So we had to gut all the kitchens and baths.
So that was the first thing you did was?
Yeah.
Okay.
We just went through and gutted all the kitchens and baths. All the plumbing walls were gutted. We planned on doing the windows and everything like that. And we used a general contractor to do the work because it's just too big of a project to manage.
So how does that work? So you have a contractor come over who can kind of supervise everything. So you're not hiring the plumbers. He's hiring the plumbers. He's got his electrical guys. So he's the general contractor. Is he almost like your manager for the project?
Yeah, he's kind of like your project manager. And, you know, one of the things that I learned through this because we didn't start out with a general contractor. We started out with subcontractors. And I had some good subcontractors like electrician, things like that. But once we brought the general contractor on, that really propelled us forward very, very quickly. And we were fortunate enough to meet a general contractor from a company that owns thousands of units in Chicago. So they had done, you know, many, many, many units. So this was nothing new to them.
Okay. Now, this just seems overwhelming. Like, were you there every day to check on things, or how often were you personally involved?
I was probably there four, five, 6 days a week. Yeah. I mean, okay. I wouldn't say every day, but I was there a lot. Yes.
And what were you, you weren't actually doing the work, right? Were you just kind of checking on what was being done?
Well, I mean, you probably know, because I know you own some rental properties. There's always temptation to get very hands-on if you've been hands-on in the past. So I did some work. I wouldn't say I did all the work. I mean, I definitely didn't do any of the gutting. I didn't really do any of the construction. I would do things like changing locks while I was waiting for contractors, things like that. I mean, I did all the leasing myself. Okay. I'm a real estate agent, so that's kind of right in my, you know, right in my pipeline. It's not a problem. So what I would do is when we'd have a unit come online, I would show the unit, lease it, and then all the way until the day it was filled, I would continue leasing for upcoming units. Okay. So I was pre-leasing units while they were still under construction.
Awesome. So then there was no downtime. As soon as the unit was done, you were moving someone in?
That was the goal, and that happened in a lot of cases. So we literally would be pushing the contractors to finish so that we could move people in the next day. That's kind of how we were trying to do it.
Was it hard for them to envision what they were really leasing?
So yes and no. I mean, there were a couple of cases where that was, you know, the case, but I would show a completely finished apartment, and the way that we did it, all the hallways and things, we tried to keep them relatively clean as much as we could. It was obvious there was some construction going on, but I didn't necessarily say, hey, you're, you know, the second tenant, we have 17 units to go. Mm-hmm. I'd say, hey, this unit was just renovated. And the way we did the construction, you know, we'd show the unit, and if they liked the unit, they'd move in. And then, you know, we can just continue down the line like that.
Okay. Now, it's been how long? About a year since you got everything leased out?
We finished, I guess, just about a year ago. Exactly.
So how has it actually performed? Like, has the property produced the amount of money that you kind of projected it would?
Yes. I would say, you know, if there's one thing that I got right in the initial underwriting, it was that the revenue from the property is definitely there.
Awesome.
Like I said, we bring in right around that $18,000 a month mark, and that's been pretty consistent now since we got it stabilized.
Now, what about maintenance? Like, I think the great thing about doing a full rehab on a property like that is that you shouldn't really have any maintenance for a long time. Has that been the case, or have things come up from time to time?
Yeah, it's been a good learning experience. So I would say that overall, the maintenance has been very low.
Okay.
I would say there were some learning lessons for me. We decided to do most of the plumbing, but we left some of the galvanized plumbing in place, which I think was a mistake in retrospect. You know, it saved us a few dollars there, but like we left all the drain lines, the original drain lines, because they were in good condition.
Okay.
So, you know, if I could go back in time, I'd probably cut all of those out, but you live and you learn, right?
Yeah.
Overall, that's been, you know, just kind of a minor inconvenience.
And was that just cost? Like, you didn't want to replace them all just to save money?
Yeah, it was also cost and also time. So part of the speed from the leasing perspective is that I was leasing units out that were in a stack, where if you really wanted to do the plumbing, you'd kind of have to leave them all vacant. And so from a time perspective, I think it did save us a lot of time on the releasing, but it also has been not terribly expensive, but you have some old building things that are still in place that you have to deal with. The other thing that we had, it was some residual issues with pests, which is not something that's fun to talk about, but it is what it is. You know, we've had ongoing issues with cockroaches and rats and things. So, you know, we've been chasing them out and have a really good exterminator. And we're there every few weeks just kind of making sure that it's continuing to lessen and we're kind of driving them out of the building.
Yeah. Now, I'm just thinking here, like, this is such a huge project, and whenever you're doing something, even, you know, on a small project, things always come up that you weren't anticipating. Did anything come up on this project that just kind of threw you off, or that did you have anything really huge come up?
Yeah, we had a couple oops moments, you know, that you don't plan for. I'd say the first one was the porches. So in Chicago, we have a lot of these exterior porches, and there's a lot of code issues here that you kind of don't know about until you've dealt with it. So the three-story porches in this building, we had budgeted, you know, between $8,000 and $10,000 to repair and paint them and kind of bring them up to a safe standard, we thought. And then what turns out that they require architectural drawings for any repairs, which is city code for you have to rip them down and build new ones. So that was probably the biggest oops, you know, and I think that cost right around $45,000.
Wow.
So that was not fun. Yeah.
$45,000. Wow. And so you thought you were going to just have to repair it?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, they were definitely not safe as is. And
yeah.
We wanted to do some safety things. We wanted to replace all the railings, replace any broken boards, you know, things like that. But I mean, that's one of the things that I've learned, you know, anytime I look at a building now that has an exterior porch, I've learned to be very critical when I look at that porch. You know, the cities want them replaced, which probably makes sense, right?
Right.
Long-term, you know, safety standpoint. The other one that was kind of a funny oops was we had an underground storage tank, a fuel storage tank, and I'd never run into this before. But these are really a pain because you have to bring in the EPA and the state fire marshal to do remediation on those. So that was not quite as big of a mistake. It wasn't that big of a deal in the grand scheme of things. I think it ended up costing around $6,500.
Oh, okay. Well, I was thinking much higher. So,
yeah,
so what
it could have been worse?
Yeah. So what do you do like when you have a $6,500 expense and then the extra expense for the porch? Like, did that screw you guys up budget wise?
You know, again, I was fortunate to have a partner who has been through on the business end of things, these types of things many times. And so he was very calm and he'd been through this and we had the resources to get through it. If there's anything I learned from this experience, it's when you buy, you know, these value add projects, I think you have to make sure you have good reserves and that you can weather these kind of storms, because, you know, the only way you can get to the other side and say, hey, we hit a home run, is you have to have the money to push through
right. When
you're doing the rehab. And it's expensive. You know, you're seeing tens of thousands of dollars going out the door every month. So it's, you know, it's a huge project, but it's totally worth it on the other side.
Right. I mean, it's really the same concept of doing a BRRRR on a single family or a duplex. It's just on a much bigger scale. Yeah. Right. Right. So
but you're right. Things come up, right? Even on a single family home, you can have these kind of, you know, say on that scale, maybe a $5,000 or $10,000 oops. And it's still a problem, you know, if you're not planning for it and you don't have the reserves for it. So I think it always makes sense to have good reserves and to be, you know, a contingency maybe in your budget
right.
in case you have these things come up.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause they're going to come up. Like there's always something
of course.
That's going to come up. Now, once you got the project done, then you went to do your refi. What, like with the property being worth so much more fixed up, did you have any trouble getting the lender to understand why the property would go up in value such a large amount in such a short period of time?
So we just had to prove that we were stable, which we were able to do pretty easily.
And so did they want to see like your rent rolls, like to see?
Oh yes.
Okay.
Yeah. They audit everything very, very carefully, very closely, which makes sense, right? Cause they're really just lending on the cap rate, essentially. Mm-hmm. They're lending on that stabilized cap rate. So yeah, they went through everything with a fine tooth comb. And again, I think I benefited from having a partner who had been through this process before. It is definitely an experience doing a Fannie Mae loan.
With your partner, how do you guys split that up? Are you splitting up the management or are you doing more of that type of work?
Yeah, so today he is essentially compensating me to manage the property.
Okay.
So that's worked out well for us for now. And we've kind of kept it flexible. He has no interest in being the day-to-day manager because he has a lot of other projects going on. And so for us, that we just kind of come to an agreement on, you know, paying me a fixed amount per month to manage it. And then he's still involved in some of the back-end details.
Well, John, congratulations. You really hit a home run on this deal. I'm so happy for you. If anyone is looking to invest in the Chicago area, John is a full-time realtor. He's investor friendly. He works with a ton of investors. His main focus is helping people buy 1 through 4 units, but he does do some bigger commercial deals. if you're interested in investing out there, or you just want to connect with him, I've got his contact information on my website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode271. I'd like to thank today's sponsor for making this episode possible. It's Chailey Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. If you're looking to buy a rental property, whether you're just getting started and you want to buy your first rental, or you want to add to your portfolio, the lender that I recommend is Chailey Ridge. She's a nationwide lender, and her specialty is helping investors buy rental properties. She has a ton of different loan programs, and she can find something customized to you that works for you in your unique situation. If you want to find out more or set up a time to talk to Chailey, just go to ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, lendinggroup.com. If you mention Rental Income Podcast, she will waive all the pre-qualification fees. NMLS 42056. If you're not on my email list already, you can get signed up at landlordgift.com. You can get a free ebook I wrote that shows you the 5 steps to buy your first rental property. And then I send out emails every Sunday. It's exclusive content that you're not going to find here on the podcast. Again, to sign up, just go to landlordgift.com. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. If this is your first time here, make sure you subscribe. We have new interviews every single Tuesday. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.
No tienes que esperar a que te paguen para finalmente invitar a tus papás a comer. Solo te tiene que salir una oferta de sus favoritos en el McDonald's app. Ahorra con el app. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. En McDonald's participantes.